Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Coffin. Well, I was going to do a big introduction for my next guest, but maybe I should just read the glowing New York Times review of their show from last month. Glowing! The Improv Shakespeare Company is one of the best shows in Chicago. It has been for years. They've been playing the sold-out houses at I.O. since 2005, to be exact. They played everywhere from Just for Laughs in Montreal to Bonnaroo. And they branched out to pick up shows in New York City. Good move, since the piece in the New York Times is the kind of press that Broadway shows would die for. Blaine Swen, Brendan Dowling, and Steve Waltine are three names all improvisers in Chicago know. And they're with me in studio. Gentlemen, congratulations. What is this? Who's getting long feature reviews in the New York Times?
My gosh, it's our pleasure. It was a surprise.
Yeah, it really was.
Did you go after them? Or were you like, oh, we should get the New York Times to come out and see the show?
Well, you know, our manager had been encouraging them to come for a long time. So we didn't know that they were going to be there until just before the run. We knew that particular reviewer was coming and that he would be there several times. He came to several shows.
Yeah, that feels like if you're going to review an improv show, I think he came to four, which to me feels like what you need to do to experience, especially with our show. You know, the shows are so different from one another. And that, I think, is one of the really fun things about our show. I think if you see one, you might be tempted to say, oh, I guess this is kind of how it always goes. So we really liked that he was dedicated to coming to see four.
Let's talk about the origins of this, because, you know, there's so many great performers and improvisers who've come through and been a part of Improv Shakespeare. Talk about 2005, beginning the show.
Well, I had finished up my coursework for grad school at Loyola, and so I had some spare time. And I was, I was seeing shows at I.O., and I was seeing narrative shows at I.O., and seeing narrative shows play to full houses, and I thought, well, there's probably a place for a Shakespearean long-form troupe in Chicago. And I had had some experience doing that in California. So I put together a group, and we did five shows at Donny's Skybox, which is the student stage at the Second City in the training center. And it was just supposed to be five shows, and that's what we were going to do. And then I was going to move on to the next thing, you know. But we did five shows, and it just went surprisingly well, and Sharna caught wind of it and invited us over to I.O. And I remember sitting down with her, you know, for a meeting, and some other theaters had caught wind of it too and said, why don't you come and play like midnights on Wednesday, you know, right, at our theaters. Like, I don't know, that sounds like a great slot. But then Sharna invited me in, and she said, why don't you come play at my theater? And I said, well, what kind of slot are you looking for? She's like, what do you want, Fridays at 8, Saturdays at 8? I'm like, oh,
yes.
These are great.
What
These
does it take? Songs. I mean, when you're putting together an improv show that is going to be improv based on Shakespeare, I mean, what are you looking for in the actor? Is it knowing the material? What is it that makes a great player for improv Shakespeare?
Well, I think, and you know, the guys all might have opinions on this too. I think the first thing is it takes a really great improviser, a really supportive improviser, somebody who's willing to go on stage with the idea of, my goal is to make my scene partner look as good as possible, you know. So I think that's the number one thing I look for, is somebody who's willing to be a part of the whole and really support the group spirit of the show.
Yeah, I guess I would piggyback on that and say the thing that lends Shakespeare to improv so well is how emotionally reactive Shakespeare's characters are. So just playing that huge emotional stakes, even if it's mundane things in an improv show, is super helpful in our show.
Yeah, right. That's true. I mean, there's it's almost just drama. There's a lot of drama infused in Shakespeare, and improvisation, you can find a lot of laughs in playing that drama.
You know, I certainly love shows that have very detailed and small slice of life scenes, but in our show, it's usually everything's so life and death that the emotional pitch is kind of turned up to an 11. So having those emotional stakes certainly help.
Steve?
It unlocks, you know, to piggyback on that piggyback.
A lot of piggyback.
We're all standing on each other, if you can imagine that. It unlocks so much great emotional potential. People think, oh, this is much harder because they're improvising in, you know, sometimes rhyming couplets and verse and stuff. And that language can be a little bit of a challenge. But I think actually the emotional world of Shakespeare that Brendan was just alluding to in some ways makes it easier to do the things you want improvisers to do in scenes. Mm-hmm. In the contemporary world, people are pretty bottled up. And so oftentimes the best move in an improv scene is to tell someone how you really feel,
right,
or
right.
you know, really have an emotional outburst.
And which you would never do in real life.
Never. I never would. But the Shakespeare allows for that. I mean, musical improv is similar in that way, too. In musical theater, people being able to burst into song the way a Shakespeare character could burst into soliloquy. And that's another great thing, is even if two characters are having a scene where they're keeping their motivations or keeping their emotional undercurrent beneath the surface, you know, one character can then break and look out at the audience and give this powerful soliloquy that tells what they're thinking and what they want. And in improv, that's just such a gift.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
on so many levels, right? It lets the audience know what a character's motivation is. It lets your scene partner know what your motivation is, so you can play with that dramatic irony so nicely. And, you know, what's the character aware of? What's the actor aware of? What's the audience aware of? And, you know, if you put the language aside for a moment, because I think most people look at that as the biggest, most significant challenge,
right.
I actually sometimes think Shakespearean improv is easier than regular improv.
Well, I mean, you're right. The idea that it does seem harder because the master of the language, you know, you guys have very Shakespearean in the way that, you know, you talk about the couplets, talk about rhyming. I mean, there are a lot of things that a regular improv show, you know, you don't find those elements in. So it does feel like there's much more skill when you guys do it.
Yeah, that's true. There are techniques and stuff to sort of what we call like the icing on the cake. You know, the really like...
Like the socks.
Yes. Yeah.
Knee-high socks.
But like the really like the core of the show is a strong improv. And then like the icing on top is things like rhyming couplets and classical references and pop culture references, things like that.
Blaine likes to say that, you know, use that the linguistic stuff as a spice. It's not the main... It's not the meal. It's like we use it as a seasoning.
We use a lot of food metaphors.
Let me ask you, because Shakespeare, you know, there's obviously a huge love affair with audiences with Shakespeare, the Shakespearean work. We have the Shakespeare 400 that's happening now in Chicago, the festival. But, you know, it seems like there's always been, you know, there's a parody show of Shakespeare. There's, you know, the abridged version. Like, there's always a lot of different material surrounding Shakespeare's work. What do you think it is about the audience that you're performing for that keep coming out and selling out to come watch you guys do Shakespeare?
That's a great question. I mean, our audience is so varied. And I think, well, part of that is like Steve saying, and what Brendan was saying to piggyback on their two piggybacks, is that Shakespeare, it taps into some human element of us that we often don't tap into in our regular lives. It just taps into that emotion, and you see it on such a heightened level on stage. And I think that draws people from all different walks of life, all different stages, all different ages. So Shakespeare himself is already tapping into a really broad audience.
It's a reference point that everybody has, weirdly enough. And sometimes people are intimidated and think they don't have it.
Right.
You know, we'll go and, especially when we're touring on the road and stuff, sometimes we'll teach workshops to kids and things. And you'll encounter it like kids who think they don't know who Shakespeare is, right, or don't know anything about it.
Or maybe they just feel like this is above. They didn't study hard enough.
Right.
They didn't read the Shakespeare plays. Right?
Do you know the story of Romeo and Juliet? Oh, yeah. Well, I know that. Okay. So then, you know, this is – but I think that because it's something that everybody has had some exposure to, and it – Shakespeare himself couples the high-minded and the sort of baser sides of humor so well. You appeal to the – intellectual set that really likes the wordplay and all these things. But, you know, another thing that we're fond of saying is our style of play is every bit as much influenced by Monty Python as it is by William Shakespeare. So you can come to see our show and get high-minded references, but you're also going to get the silliest bits in Chicago, you know, that are just fun, physical hilarity that if someone thinks they've never read a word of Shakespeare, they're still going to enjoy.
The idea that there seems to be an ebb and flow with Shakespeare. You'll have, you know, like we're doing the Shakespeare 400 now, Something Rotten, which is on Broadway, is kind of bringing Shakespeare back. But it does kind of go up and down in terms of, you know, the pop culture is putting your teeth into Shakespeare. Do you guys feel at all by being in that world, like that you're improvising Shakespeare? You can't break out. You can't tomorrow say, all right, let's just do something where, you know, let's do Dinner with Andre. Let's do something different.
Oh, like, Wallace Shawn is coming back.
So do you feel limited at all by like the conceit? Do you feel limited at all by the conceit?
I don't. And I've gotten to do the show for about 8 years. And I think one thing that we've talked about is the more you read about Shakespeare and the more of his plays that you read, the more surprises you find where I think there's a lot more breadth and depth to Shakespeare than maybe the average person would think. And so I think it's real fun to get to mine all the different stuff and all the different playing fields he used.
You know, for you guys, your ensemble has ebbed and flowed over the years of different ensemble members. How hard is it to find actors and improvisers to be a part of this ensemble? And how hard is it to bring you guys all back together? Because you got so many different things going on. You're working in pilot season. You're working in L.A., New York. You have some people who are, you know, are on TV as we speak. So how hard is it to get the gang together to do a show?
Well, a lot of when we meet up together and do something like when we go to Bonnaroo, a lot of times we will or do a gig like that. It will be a group of people that hasn't necessarily played together in a little while. Some of the alumni from L.A. will come and do it. Some of the guys still in Chicago will come together. And it just kind of picks up right where it left off. Of course, there's not a whole lot of time between everybody playing. We're on the road so much that everybody is playing generally. Even the guys that are out in L.A. now still play once a month at least.
Is it hard to organize around those schedules? I mean, is it for you, Blaine? I mean, is it hard to be like, oh, geez, I got to get people for this gig and then this gig? I mean, you guys are touring all over the place, doing shows in New York, L.A., festivals.
Yeah, it can be difficult. Yeah. But somehow it always comes together. Yeah. Every once in a while, we'll get stuck doing a three-man show or something like that. But even that is just a ball. So much fun. Sometimes we do it intentionally. We'll schedule just three guys to do a show.
Brendan's always available. You're always available.
Oh, I keep my schedule very clear. Yeah.
Let me ask you guys. I mean, you guys are improvisers in the scene. You don't just do this show. I mean, Steve, you're a Second City main stage. Talk about the idea of, you know, in your case, you guys are an ensemble of pretty much all white dudes, right? There's, what, 6-7 people that will be on stage? 5-4 whatever it might be.
Yeah, any given time, generally play with 5, yeah.
You have the luck that, you know, you can play women because Shakespeare would have men play women. But but talk about your relationship to that because, you know, there's so much going on right now in the improv community about disrespect. You guys are an all-male group. Talk about, you know, so your relationship to that issue that's happening in the improv community right now.
Well, one of the most important things for us as a group is that we don't go on stage and do any sort of broad sweeping parodies of any group. You know, everybody that we're playing, we're trying to play a character with depth and with meaning and top of their intelligence. So even when we go on stage and play women, a lot of times you'll see in improv shows, you'll see a man playing a woman and they're playing some sort of like goofy fifth grade sort of like, girls are all like this, you know? And it's very important to us that to play strong female characters when we play female characters on stage, just as Shakespeare had so many strong female protagonists.
Brendan, you were actually called out in the New York Times article for doing so well with playing women.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, yeah, I would agree with Blaine. I think we all embrace that challenge of playing characters as complexly and as multidimensionally as Shakespeare wrote them. And then in terms of satire, we always want to be like, you know, that playing at the top of your intelligence and that expression of like you want to punch up instead of punch down. So, yeah, I think we're very mindful of that.
What's next for you guys? I mean, you're doing more shows now at IO, but you're also going back to New York. Talk about what's next for Improv Shakespeare.
Right. Well, we just added a fifth weekly show at IO, so now we're playing 5 times a week.
Playing 5 times a week.
Yeah, that's right.
So, wow, can you imagine? I mean, going back to 2005, the idea that, you know, yeah, I got the show, we're going to play 5 times at the Skybox. You're doing 5 times a week now.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So the original plan was to do it 5 times.
And now it happens 5 times every week.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's really exciting. And we love the audiences that come out to IO, and it's just a ball to play. So we play Thursday nights at 8, Fridays at 8 and 10:30, and Saturdays at 8 and 10:30. And then we're also on the road about 100 days out of the year traveling. So we'll be in New York again in March, and there's a big list of our touring schedule on our website.
The New York and L.A. shows have become pretty regular, so we have kind of crowds that, you know, some of the same faces that we see in both of those cities, and that's really, really fun.
and your biggest fan, Patrick Stewart, who comes out to the
he's played with us 7 or 8 times. He's played with us quite a few
times. That's got to be a thrill to be a kid from Loyola who puts his show together, and now Patrick Stewart's like, I would like to play.
Oh, yeah. It's a huge thrill. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
Blaine Swen, Brendan Dowling, and Steve Waltine are part of the group Improv Shakespeare Company, which is on stage five times a week at I.O. and also on tour. And, of course, you can see them in New York City coming up here in March. Guys, thanks for coming in.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Thank you, Justin.